Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound. Limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to episode 41 of The Casual Temple, and I'm your host, Marilee Duffy. Here at The Casual Temple, we are discovering our connection to the unseen world of spirit and how that empowers us to know our true selves. Want to support our journey? Subscribe and leave a star review on your favorite podcast platform. You can also donate via our Red Circle page, linked in the show notes below. We love hearing from you, so visit casualtemple.com to share your thoughts. Join our mailing list for a chance to win a free aura reading with me, Marilee. We pick a winner every month, and your name stays in until you win. Today we have back to the show, tarot reader and esotericist Fleetwood Haddock. This time we're diving deep into the mysteries of Mercury retrograde. What is Mercury retrograde really? Is it the chaos we all fear, or could it offer a unique opportunity to relax and reflect? Fleetwood shares practical tips, fascinating astrological insights, and even some personal stories to help you navigate this celestial phenomenon with ease. We'll break down the phases and themes so you're fully prepared for the upcoming retrograde season. Stay tuned as we explore grounding techniques, cosmic correspondences, and how Mercury's energy can guide us through challenges and opportunities alike. This is The Casual Temple, where the stars are our guide. And today, you guys, we have the pleasure of welcoming back The Casual Temple, Fleetwood Haddock. Fleetwood is a talented tarot reader and esotericist. Today, we're going to have a chat about Mercury retrograde and some tips and tricks to help get you through. So Fleetwood, happy to have you back on The Casual Temple.
Hello, happy to be here. Very happy to be here.
Oh, glad. Yes, I really loved our conversation. And I think either, I can't remember if it was during that conversation offline or in our Discord, you mentioned something about chatting about Mercury retrograde. I thought it was such a good idea.
Yeah, no, it's a helpful. I feel like I've got a few survival tips from working in the tech industry.
That's right.
Might be able to help some folks.
Yeah. So I think you have really good insight into it. And and we have a Mercury retrograde coming up here in 2024. So it is November 24th through December 15th. So it's coming up, and I'm planning on releasing, our talk today, hopefully right before then. So hopefully get, help some people out. So let's just talk Mercury retrograde. Like, how would you describe it to somebody who wouldn't know what it is?
Oh, that's always the hardest one.
Yes.
It's funny, but I think of it as Murphy's Law time of year. What can go wrong will go wrong type of thing. And it's just the time to make sure you've got your stuff lined up, your I's dotted and your T's crossed, because it's like having the health inspector come around. You got to make sure you're on the ball, because otherwise you're going to get dinged for it more than you normally would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's how I would kind of describe it to someone that was totally unfamiliar with it. It is a energy of no safety net.
Yes, no safety net for sure. And then, because it's related to it's our planet Mercury, and then the idea of like the Greek god Mercury or Hermes. So it's things around travel, electronics, communication, the exchange of money, like all the things that really in our modern day, make things go round and causes people a lot of stress.
Very, very much so.
Yeah. How was your last Mercury retrograde? Because I know you chatted a little bit about that before.
Well, the last one over the summer was quite eventful for me. But before we get into that, actually, it brings
Yeah.
up something that I wanted to mention too. So you said that it was going to be starting on the 25th of November to December 5th. Or sorry, December 15th. And I just wanted to point out that we are actually already in the Mercury retrograde period because the Mercury has already entered its shadow as of November 7th. So what that means is that when Mercury goes retrograde, it literally travels backwards along the same path. And on November 7th was when it passed the point in the sky that it's going to return back to. And so if you think about the travel, if it starts here, goes out, comes back, and then goes forward again, the same point in space gets traveled over three separate times. And so the important dates to know are when Mercury enters the shadow period, when it first crosses that mark, which for the upcoming retrograde is 6 degrees of Sagittarius, in case anyone out there is wondering. Then you have when it stations retrograde, which is when the motion actually stops in the sky. When it stations retrograde, it would appear that the planet has totally stopped moving. But it's really it gradually slows down and gets slower and slower and slower until the retrograde point, and then begins slowly moving backwards and then is speeding up to get to where it stations direct later. There's an important point in between, though, too, which is called the Kazemi. And that's when Mercury intersects the Sun. And it marks the halfway point of the retrograde on December 5th. And then, so yeah, when it'll station direct on December 15th, but then it won't leave the shadow. Even though it starts moving forwards again, it isn't back into new territory again until actually January 2nd. So you can kind of think of this whole time period as having a theme, is the way I like to think of it. And so the last Mercury retrograde, a few days after we entered the shadow period, I was in a very, very minor car accident. I got rear-ended by someone not paying attention. And the check for the payment that I was supposed to get, on top of having all sorts of rigmarole and the car like technically getting totaled, and even though it was running perfectly fine and like was barely hurt, of course that's how it goes. Then the check for the payment literally was mailed to me and never showed up. So literally had something get lost in the mail, which is very common for Mercury retrograde themes. And when the check was finally cleared, I found out a lot of the places that I'd been talking to about getting the car fixed, don't actually work on totaled vehicles. So I had to find a place that would take a vehicle that had been totaled, which was something I totally hadn't considered.
Yeah, I wouldn't
So it was, yeah, just the things that you don't have to know until it comes up, but
that.
that's why it's a great example of a Mercury retrograde story, because whatever you're dealing with will be something you were unaware of previously.
You're like,
Something
oh,
that comes up out of the blue.
like comes up and is yeah, now in your face and you have to deal with it. But Oh gosh. Yeah, I was talking with my husband JC about Mercury retrograde, and he had like an interesting thought around it. Like his interpretation is thinking about like Mercury as like a person, right? And so, he's great when he's great. He's like getting all the things done quickly and fast, like the communications, the electronics, all the things, but he also needs a break. And so he thinks it's like his time to take a break, right? Like he's so maybe those things aren't gonna like operate as smoothly as they normally do. Because we all need breaks. We all need to take a chill.
No, maybe that's a good way to put it. There's like the boss isn't around to oversee all the transactions.
Yes, exactly. I like that. Yeah, so he's like, maybe we need to take, and then I also think there's a component of like, it's also the mind. And so we're always, especially in our modern day, we use our minds quite a bit for everything. And so maybe we just need to like relax our minds during that time and like take it easy or whatever.
Definitely.
So in that vein, I just feel like there's a lot of media around Mercury retrograde, even in like regular, I don't know, like online news things talk about it now, but it's always around like kind of this scary thing. Why do you think people freak out about Mercury retrograde?
I mean, it's the same kind of thing with, I mean, I think there's a lot of folks that will freak out about anything these days.
True. Yes.
especially online.
Yes.
There's no shortage of freak outs, that's for sure. But I think it's the same kind of way that we freak out about the idea of the power going out.
Yeah.
There's that heart sinking moment when all the sounds that you take for granted in the house come to a stop.
Right.
And it's you get moments like that with Mercury retrograde, just in I think little smaller tidbits, unless your power actually does go out, which is
Right.
something that I would definitely associate with it. But it is, things that you come to rely on becoming unreliable.
Right.
And that's always, bound to shake things up a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So as a person in tech, how would you like have people prepare themselves for a Mercury retrograde, or tips and tricks for that?
Well, this kind of applies even outside of a Mercury retrograde. I feel like we all know people that everything seems to break in their hands when they touch it electronically. I think everybody has one relative like that in their family, or at least every tech person that I know
Right.
knows at least one person like that. And it's funny, a lot of the folks that I work with in the tech industry seem to be the opposite of that. Like, if you've ever had the experience of taking your car to a mechanic and the noise stops right as you pull it in the parking lot,
Right.
I think that's more than just coincidence. I think there's different, that's the place where things get fixed. And so it's more fixed while it's there. And I think some people have a different kind of aura when it comes to like electronics, generally speaking. But I have a personal theory that it relates to how grounded you are as a person, which kind of there's something I want to explain about that, the way I use that term. So there's grounded, there's ungrounded. But then there's like tapped into the super consciousness slash like galaxy brain mode that I think is the opposite of groundedness. But it's different from being ungrounded, if that makes sense. Because I don't know if you've ever done a grounding meditation where you really sit and feel yourself get rooted into the earth. It's a really slowing, relaxing feeling, and it trying to use a computer grounded is like trying to ask a tortoise to be a mail carrier. The rabbit might be less reliable, but he's definitely going to get it there faster. And you want to me, being in a spiritual sense, when you're ungrounded, you don't have that rooted, tethered nature that a grounding meditation will give you. But there are other meditations where you kind of open up the top of your head and pull in light from above you. Sometimes you do it in tandem with grounding and like kind of, mix the energies inside yourself. I think the middle pillar exercise is one that does that. But what I've kind of adapted is doing, let's say, taking the middle pillar as an example, doing just the top half, so to speak, where you're tapping into what's above instead of what's below. It doesn't leave you ungrounded, but to say that you're grounded in it would be a misnomer. And I haven't quite come up with a good term for it, as much as I was thinking about it over the last week in preparation for this. But I think being galaxy brained is the way I like to think of it. That and it really is a good way to use a computer, because at the end of the day, the most effective way to use a computer is the way that the programmers intended. And so there's an ideal thought process out there that I feel like you can tap into when you're using technology that is helpful, totally outside of a, grounded, ungrounded perspective. But maybe it is tapping into that kind of Mercury energy out there, that helps you view the program or the application the way it was intended to be viewed rather than with your own previous biases. I think having that kind of mentality helps with your field, so to speak, and the way that you interact with the technology itself. I hope that kind of makes sense.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it does. It's kind of like syncing from what I was getting when you were describing it. It's like syncing your brain to the person that made whatever the software or program that you're using. And it's like
Yeah,
kind
and
of
not
like
even just the person that made it, but all the other thousands of people that have used it and figured out maybe little tips and tricks that even the designer didn't intend. But it is, I feel like when you're having trouble with technology, taking a minute to do an exercise to open up the top of your head to what's out there can really help you step back and relax and come at it with a fresh mindset. And a Mercury retrograde time period is you're certainly more likely to need that kind of a tool. But it's a good tool to have regardless of when you need it.
Would you mind ne maybe not necessarily walking us through like a full meditation, but can you describe how you would do this kind of galaxy brain? I know you kind of mentioned opening up, but can you kind of describe how you would do it?
Yeah, so the same way that, like, when you do a grounding exercise, you straighten your back, you sit with your feet on the floor. It would probably be a good idea for a lot of people, especially if you're familiar with grounding, to just go ahead and do a grounding exercise beforehand. I don't think it's gonna hurt anything, especially if you do the other one second. But ground yourself, feel that connection the way you with each breath, because that's at least how I was taught to do it. You with each inhale, you pull the energy up from the earth into your body, and with each exhale, you exhale out what is impure or not needed from you as you're filled with the energy of the earth. So instead of being filled from the bottom up, you get filled from the top down. So with each inhale, I like to envision like either the sun if it's daytime or the moon at night, or sometimes like I think of like the galactic core or just like maybe the very center of the universe, just whatever is in a straight line up from the top of my head, at that given moment. But I think of it as this beam of light, beam of energy with each breath coming down through the crown above my head, and kind of like those flippy things that people will have in their bathroom that the colored oil and the air bubbles swap
Oh yeah.
places. Yeah, I think of that when I'm meditating sometimes, the way that the oil will fall down and the air fills it from the top down. So kind of think of like that, where each breath is filling your head and then neck and then shoulders and then chest and then abdomen down to your feet. And then sit there with that light filling your body and then go back to your task the same way you would as if you were grounded.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for walking us through that. I kind of like the
Yeah.
visual of the oil dispenser. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
Okay, well.
have really bad ADHD,
Oh, really?
so my mind tend to wanders real bad when I try to meditate.
Oh yeah,
But
meditation.
I've definitely found kind of the things that my mind gravitates towards tend to relate to how I'm meditating. And so finding those little things like that that it reminds me of, kind of, I don't know, when I'm meditating will give me something to latch on to and kind of entertain that part of my brain a little bit better while I'm trying to calm down and relax it.
Right. Yeah. I do think that's what happened. Yeah, for sure. That's happened in meditation for me as well, where you're just like making all these connection points, maybe even about the meditation itself. So that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Let's see. Well, do you think or
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen Grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In your experience, have you seen any sort of connection with like astrological birth charts, like either your own or other people's, and whether or not they have a stronger effect, or like protection even maybe during Mercury retrograde?
I would say absolutely 100% yes. And there's a real easy way for even non-astrologers to kind of tell if, hey, is this one going to be rocky or not? Or depending on like how spread out your planets and stuff are, you can look up your chart and see. So like this upcoming retrograde goes from 6 degrees Sagittarius to 22 degrees Sagittarius. And so personally, I don't have anything in Sagittarius. All my stuff is in Capricorn and Scorpio. But Sagittarius is a mutable sign. And so Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces are the four mutable signs. And if you look at it on the wheel of the zodiac, they make like a four-pointed cross. If you were to look at those four signs. So if you have, it's good to know if your signs, like especially your sun, moon, and rising, if you're mutable, fixed, or cardinal signs. I can would be helpful to think if I go through which ones are which.
Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
So yeah, cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, mutable are Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces, and fixed signs are Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. And the biggest difference between them, or one, like the it's kind of like tarot cards. There's lots of different correspondences between the types. But the since there's three different kinds and there's four in each category, there's one in each season of the year is another way to look at it. And so the cardinal signs is when the season first comes in. The fixed sign is in the middle of the season when it's the most like that season. And then the mutable sign is when the season is starting to fade into the next one. But if you know whether you're cardinal, fixed, or mutable, because they make that, cross sign across the zodiac, you know that even if it's not in your sign, if anything going on in Sagittarius is going to be either opposing or making a square to the other mutable signs. And those tend to be the harsher aspects where it's going to really amplify the effect that it has on you. I should have written down where the retrograde was over the summer, but I'm sure it was in a fixed sign because I have Scorpio, Taurus, and Aquarius is my sun, moon, and rising signs. So I'm very fixed. So when stuff happens to one of the fixed signs, it always affects me pretty personally and on an intimate level, I'd say. So I've found it to be a really useful tool to know, like this one being in Sagittarius. Sagittarius is mutable, not a big deal for me.
Right. So you're probably gonna, this is gonna be fine for
Yeah.
you.
Yep. But Mercury retrogrades three or four times every year. So you're probably going to get hit about once, if you're unlucky, twice a year.
Well, that's good to remember and maybe have people even look at their astrological charts a little closer to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a
And
good point.
like for me, even though, like I said, Sun, Moon, and Rising is Scorpio, Aquarius, and Taurus, I have my Venus, Uranus, Saturn, and Neptune are all in Capricorn for me. So it's hard to, when you have that many planets piled up on top of each other, it can be hard to tease apart their meaning sometimes. But I've noticed with Venus stuff especially, that the cardinal signs will catch me up with that when it comes to like Venus retrogrades. But that's a whole nother topic.
Oh, I do think Venus, at least in my working, she kind of does have a communication component, only because at least when I, when I kind of work with her, it's like the familial or like kind of relationships between like people that have consistent relationships, like your partner or your children or like people close to
Well,
you.
Venus handles law and business matters as well.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, a lot of people forget that Venus also rules Virgo, I believe, or not Virgo, Libra. Venus rules Libra,
That's right.
the scales of justice, and like very much is a big part of Venusian energy.
Oh, and then I was thinking around sort of because my own personal way my chart works, and I've had Christopher Warnock do, he has this thing where he does like a mage reading. It's pretty cool. But he'll figure out this particular, it's called the Almutin Figurus, and it's basically depending on certain factors in your birth chart, it creates like a number. And then whatever that number is, it corresponds to the planet, or not the number corresponds, but if a particular planet is like has these placements, it makes like the largest number, and then that's your Almutin Figurus. And then mine happens to be Mercury. So to me, it's like most of the time, and I say this, I'm saying this, and I'm going, I already told you that I'm traveling during this next retrograde, but like I haven't really felt the effects of Mercury grade on like big massive scales, but I haven't really, but I'm going to be paying attention now because I have. The only one I think recently, it wasn't the one during the summer, but I think there was one maybe in the spring, because it was with a previous guest, Mawia Bomani. Like we were having like a pre-chat interview, and like somebody's in our internets were not working. And so it was like, and we were both like talking and laughing about how it was like, Mercury retrograde. So, but yeah, thanks for walking through sort of like the astrological correspondences and looking through that. And now I'm going to be looking to see, maybe during that time with Maria, what was going on. But
Well, and it's really, I've been fascinated by how much, like, look back at the time around the 7th of November, if you can, and look for a theme, because, like, it could be something small, but it's that small thing that might be snowballing behind the scene that then comes up on your trip.
That's right.
And it might be something like you found a heads up penny on the ground and picked it up, that something you might not even remember, and then you find a $50 bill while you're on vacation. Like, there's all sorts of different ways it could work out. But it's it really seems to me that there's a correspondence that will come back around the three times at the start of the when it enters the shadow, around the midpoint or the Kazemi, and then when it leaves the shadow over that, like, 3 month period or 6 week period, something like that. And I feel like it's there's I feel like that is such an important piece of if you want to learn something from it and not just be at the whims of the space weather. But if you want to actually glean some sort of lesson, it'll have to do with that theme that's coming up multiple times. And I think you are doomed to repeat the same retrograde mistakes until you learn the lesson therein.
I like, that's a great thing to consider and think about. Now I'm having to go back in my memory about all those times.
Well, because that's actually something that came out for me studying about Venus retrogrades and how they happen in an 8 year cycle. And it just kind of kept coming up around Mercury and around Mercury. But it's something that I think, especially, like, I'm really bad about keeping a journal. But because the Mercury retrograde is so fast, it's like things are still so fresh in your memory that I feel like it's a good time to learn lessons. But yeah, I have Mercury, the Sun, and Pluto all within 2 degrees of each other in my birth chart, with Mars is a little bit further off, but they're all in Scorpio.
Interesting.
I had one astrological reading. The person said that because Mercury was so directly under the rays of the sun in my chart, they called it a melted Mercury. And for me, Mercury has always been kind of this more fluid character. of almost like the shape-shifting side of it, I think, is a little bit more exaggerated.
Interesting. Yeah, it's another thing for people to look at. Yeah, that was something sort of what we were one or I was I had on the question, like your own personal relationship with Mercury. Do you have maybe an example of like how that showed up as more like transitional or fluid for you?
Well, it's, I think, just in learning about the spirit of Mercury, or maybe my own spirit of Mercury.
Right.
But it's so fluid, in every way you could imagine, like gender fluid, form fluid, just like the way that I think of it is that Mercury is the ultimate messenger. But to be the ultimate messenger, you have to be able to assume any form, because there are places that only women can go, for instance, only birds can go in different mythologies. Like, there are places that only the dead can go, and you have to be able to fully take messages to every part of creation, so to speak. You'd have to be able to become each one of those in turn to deliver the messages.
Oh, yeah, that's really interesting to think about. I like that quite a bit. Let's see, we're kind of moving here. What are some, do you have any specific rituals or anything that you do for either Mercury retrograde or just Mercury or Hermes in general that
I
you
would
want to
say
share?
I haven't done anything besides like just my general galaxy brain stuff for Mercury retrograde. But I definitely have worked a lot with Mercury, just as like that psychopompic figure that can, like, I almost use Mercury as like an intercessor, like the way some people use saints, as because they can take messages to anyone. If you're trying to work with a new deity, Mercury is a really, really, really good place to start. Or if you want to get into deity work or work with any sort of entities, really, Mercury is such a good first one, because you can then go to Mercury to kind of like introduce you to anyone else you want to get to know. So that's one thing I'd say. I'd also say the Orphic hymn to Mercury is something that I've used to great success. I mean, all the Orphic hymns are amazing, but I think that's, I don't have more than that, because I haven't needed more than that. It's just such an effective tool to have. I did write down some correspondences, though, if you want me to go through those for Mercury. Colors, you've got yellow, silver, gray. For symbols, the caduceus, that's one that's really important. The staff with the snakes twinned around it, that's like the Mercury symbol, that and the winged helmet and sandals. The herbs that are really good with Mercury are lavender, peppermint, fennel, and caraway. The last two I haven't used personally, but lavender and peppermint, I would personally attest to, are really good with Mercury. Crystals, again, I haven't worked with these, but this is, I wanted to look up some stuff for the podcast, and I was able to find recommendations for citrine, clear quartz, agate, and I can read my own handwriting, howite.
Oh, how light. Nice.
The one, I'm not as familiar with those crystals, but clear quartz definitely makes a lot of sense, just because it's so neutral and can kind of hold any sort of energy that you put into it. That makes me think of Mercury a lot. And lastly, just the Magician tarot card is super mercurial. If you want to know a lot about Mercury, learn a lot about the Magician card because it's the same kind of Thoth energy.
I think that's a good, yeah, those are really good places to start. I have to, yeah, I for some reason I think I've used Dill quite a bit with Mercury and Hermes. I think he tends to like it. And then I'll use like Candy because I think of like, yeah, like somebody being kind of hyper and a lot of energy. So I'm like, I tend to give some candy on Wednesdays. But yeah. And then I'm thinking about, because I was, you know, I mentioned and that I have this upcoming trip, and I'm like, I'm trying to dot all my like print, making sure I have copies of all my documentation because I'm going to Australia and New Zealand. So I want to make sure I have everything all ready to
Yeah,
go. And
definitely.
then I'm going to be wearing, I have like an ibis necklace, the representing tout, and then I also have like a Mercury dime. I'm like, I'm gonna have it like
Can
really.
I tell you what I immediately thought of
Yes,
with
please.
that trip? There's a bird in New Zealand. I forget the name of it, but it's renowned for stealing things that are valuable. And they're known for taking travelers' passports.
Oh, that is hilarious. Well, that's good to know.
Keep it close.
Oh yes. Oh, you definitely keep it close. That's a good point.
Yeah,
Yes.
apparently they'll rip out like the rubber seal around car windows, and like they're very destructive and stuff like that.
It's good to know. I'm gonna have to look up this bird because we are renting a car. So that's good. Oh my gosh. I was trying to think what else have I done. I'll probably do like because the Wednesday before I leave, I'll probably do something, you know, it'd be like, let's make it go smooth. Everything goes smooth.
Well, and just as a tip and related to that, there are so many mercurial spirits out there. That are separate from Mercury itself, so to speak. But I feel like Mercury, almost more than anyone, has just this legion of little errand keepers. And it's not unwise to maybe ask for, especially during the retrograde period, for a mercurial spirit to watch over you specifically.
I love
That you
this.
can leave it offerings and, kind of make a little pact or bond with it that to see you through your trip safely. And like I always like when I do stuff like that to make an offering at the start, but also make a promise for an offering once it's delivered. So to speak, or like when you get back from your trip that following Wednesday as well, do something. But to like put that into the petition that you promise to do that, as I've have found that's pretty effective
Ooh.
when coercing spirits like that.
Yes. Oh, I love that tip. I'm definitely gonna do that because I see, like, we live in the Pacific Northwest. We have crows everywhere. I think most people here in Seattle, they love the crows, like they really dig them. So we're no exception necessarily, but I do see them as like very mercurial creatures because they communicate, like, because we pay attention to them so often, like they definitely communicate with each other. We've kind of like understood sort of what different calls are. We give them peanuts, you know. So I do see them as very mercurial. So that I think it's the crow that's going to be my ritual that you pointed out because I love it so much. So definitely going to do that.
Perfect.
Well, let's see. We're kind of nearing the end. It's our kind of quick, very Mercury Hermes sort of thing on Mercury retrograde. But was there anything else that you wanted to mention about either Mercury or retrograde?
I would say Mercury's kryptonite is procrastination. Like maybe that's what, if there's a theme for the difference in Mercury during the retrograde versus not, it's like the mail carrier that gets to the end of the block and finds something from the top of the block still in the bag. He's literally got to retrace his steps to go all the way back and then back down the block again. It is energy that normally wants things to be taken care of right as soon as they can be. But during the retrograde, it is a time when you can maybe get away with a little bit of procrastination. As much as you want to have your stuff taken care of leading up to it is in the air, so to speak. And I don't want to say procrastinate away, but it is, I've found you can get away with it a little bit easier when everything else is a little bit more chaotic. So that's one upside to a Mercury retrograde I wanted to throw in there.
I love it. Yeah. As somebody who kind of procrastinates, I kind of like the permission to do that. So that's great.
Yeah. Well, especially when you're on a trip. I mean, what is a trip? But
I know.
yeah.
Kind of procrastinate in a lot of ways, but
Yeah.
we're pretty much zooming through, but we're gonna make it. I put in definite relaxation points for sure.
Good.
So
Yeah.
that's
That's
great.
important.
Yes. Well, wow. Yeah. Thanks, Fleetwood. I'm so happy that you wanted to do and talk about Mercury retrograde. So this is really cool.
Yeah.
Did you have any upcoming projects or things that you wanted to let the audience know about?
No, not really. This was the biggest thing I had upcoming was just coming on here and talking with you. I've still got my tarot store open at fiverr.com/treefishtarot. That I recommend anybody interested in a reading stop by. But aside from that, I've had a few personal servitor related projects going on that I've been working on.
Ooh,
But
fun.
yeah, aside from that, just hitting the daily grind, doing the
Yeah.
day job routine.
Yes, same here. Yeah, definitely everyone check out Fleetwood's Treefish Tarot, as well as like we did in our first chat was about the tarot, so definitely want to listen to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have a lot of really good, cool insights on tarot that I really loved. So it's a good one.
Cool. Glad to hear that.
Yeah. So finally, I know you previously left us some words of wisdom. Do you have any new wisdom that you would like to share?
I kind of did, but I think the theme for me recently has just been learning to love myself a little bit more than I had recently. So I just want to share that with everyone else. Take time, especially during a Mercury retrograde, be kind to yourself. Take care of yourself. And, if there's something you've been waiting on, don't wait. No time like the present to do the things that make you feel good and proud of yourself.
Ooh, love it. I like that. Yay. Well, thank you so much, Fleetwood. This was great.
Yeah.
I always enjoy chatting with Fleetwood. He has such interesting perspectives on all things occult and esoteric. Do remember to check out the show notes to learn more about Fleetwood and his tarot offerings. Come explore the galaxy with us. Support the Casual Temple podcast by liking, following, and subscribing on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. Do drop us a note on casualtemple.com. We'd be delighted to hear from you. Thank you for listening and being an essential part of our Casual Temple community.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.